so strange.
Well, it isn't every day a spaceship comes out of the sky and a beautiful alien woman walks into my life.
Do I make you uncomfortable?
No. It's just that you're so beautiful. And then you put all of these voices of truth in my head.
Album from A Drama with Love. Welcome to the who knows what number anymore, Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Yes, this is getting more and more fun by the minute. Tonight, we're going to do a flashback to 1989. Complete flashback with all the glitches. And just imagine yourself standing up in front of a large audience and they're trying to get the microphones to work. This is how it was in I think it was a UFO expo back in 1989. Yeah, the LA UFO expo. But I think you're going to find some fire in this one. This was a hot little number that I did. And I think you'll probably really, this is a little bit different than what you're used to hearing me do. This is how I was in those days. So as I talk, Dr. Fred Bell will be queuing up his microphone in the past back there. And we're going to hear him coming in any moment. And you're going to hear him talking to the group. You're going to hear him talking, getting ready, everything for the audience to get ready, the microphone. And we're having to do the whole thing. And we're standing in front of quite a few people having to give all these commands. So you'll see eventually we get the thing on track. And then you'll see about 5 minutes in, we're going to have another little kink, and then we're going to fix that, and we're going to go on and have some fun. And hopefully you'll be listening to my Saturday Night Live show, too, coming up. That'll be the first live one on the BBS radio. I guess I've got 14 or 15 in my audience now, and I think I've gotten 7 or 8 feedbacks. I'm almost at 50%, which is unheard of for a radio host, a positive feedback. And the negative ones, of course, we never play those. Other people do, but we don't do that. We're too prejudiced against the negative ones. So I think as we're standing around here right now, I hear Dr. Bell kind of playing around back there in the background, actually, doing something back there. I don't know what I hear him. I hear him tuning up back there. Dr. Bell, are you coming in there?
My name is Fred Bell.
I guess there
you are. How many of you have ever heard me speak before? Okay. How many of you have never heard me speak before? Okay. Huh? Just this afternoon, huh? Okay, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go into great detail, and it's going to be very fast, on this Pleiadian science. And I'm going to teach you. First, I'm going to go through the few things I went through in my lecture, just to go over it for those that weren't there. And then I'll go beyond that. But the purpose of this kind of discussion is to bring you into what science should have been all about had we not gone the fossil fuel route, as J. Pierpont Morgan and Nikola Tesla had discussed years ago when our society went down the tubes. So I'm just going to start right now. The body is 5% mineral. I'm going to get a little nutrition now. I'm assuming how many of you are not aware that the environment is destroying us? Everybody knows we've created a pretty bad environment, right?
I don't like this ring at all.
It rings. I don't like that.
This is Dr. Bell having to fool around a little bit. Keep it going.
I thought you guys were direct out of your camera, though. You're not? Oh, this is one of yours. Is your camera thing? Hey, which one? Big one or the little one?
I love it when the show starts off like this. It always made my evening.
Okay. Okay, well, then turn it down then. All right. Adjust it so it's about here. Is that all right? That work? Okay.
Got to get them going here sooner or later. Just hang in there. That's what I used to say. Full days.
Do we have to realize that about consciousness, first of all? If you were to realize that, a few years ago I built a time machine based on the research that I had done on the Philadelphia experiment back when I was working on it in the 50s with the University of Michigan. And what we were doing then is we had had an experience with naval ships going through the Bermuda Triangle, and the ships inside the triangle would become invisible to ships outside the triangle on radar. And when this would happen, they noticed that, why not realize that the ships inside the triangle, they could be using some kind of a defense system, so they would become invisible, to the ones that are outside. This would be like the original stealth technology. That's where it all started. So they began to do experiments with force fields in the different schools, and they did it up at Norfolk, Virginia, Naval Test Laboratory, these kind of places. And in that process of working with the University of Michigan, I studied a thing called the cloud chamber, Wilson cloud chamber. The Wilson cloud chamber was a device that looked at atomic nuclei being bombarded by deuterons inside a perimeter of a machine called a bevatron or a cyclotron. And we noticed that particles that were hit and struck, an actual target, created a backward time motion indicating that there was a negative time frame to particle physics. And it was that research that science called, they gave these particles half-life periods. They said this only lasts half a millionth of a second or a billionth of a second, so they put nanosecond, picosecond lifetimes on these particles. And I began to realize that what was really happening is these particles didn't have a half-life. We were only creating an environment where we, with our limited observations, were giving them a half-life because we could only see them. Our environment only held itself together, its parameters together, for that period of time. It was as ridiculous as putting a speed to the speed of light. It was just about as stupid as that. Light doesn't have a speed. Light has a permeability factor that it'll move through a medium at, and this changes. In other words, light can be predicted how fast it moves across the universe, but it has no speed. It's instantaneous. Light is here. Light is somewhere else. In Pleiadian science, it takes that into consideration. So the first thing we teach is light and the feeling and sensation of light and form and sound. Now, what we're going to do in the very first part here is I'm going to conduct a little exercise, because Pleiadian science is beyond the intellect. You've got to develop a feeling for it. So what we're going to do is we're going to close our eyes and take a deep breath for a second, okay? Everybody get comfortable. Close your eyes and imagine that you're in a black void. Okay, does everybody just imagine that nothing is here yet? We're all in a black void. And this black void is called the infolute. The infolute is a place where nothing exists. In this black void, imagine a white light starting to form with tremendous brilliance. It's a white light. This white light occupies a space and time that would be all galaxies, all universes, and there would be no edge to this white light. It would be permeating everywhere. But just for a moment, as this light that permeates everywhere in your consciousness, in your imagination,
imagine it to have an edge of blackness. And call the white light the energy of the Father, the driving force, the will. That white light applied to your consciousness goes into a glandular area in the body known as the pineal gland. Because in Pleiadian science, the consciousness has to couple itself to the physical form to mean anything. It's not something that some yogi cosmically explained to you or you heard about in a book. It's something that you have to experience, otherwise it has no value. When this white light, the moment it strikes your consciousness, it turns into the color red and becomes the red ray. It has a name in Scripture. It's called the energy of the Father. And it's the will, and it comes directly from the pineal gland. And the will is in the head. So now we're centering on the head at the same time in the white light. The white light is everything and every one of us combined and everything in the universe. Yet it's individual in all of us in the pineal gland as the red, the color of red. Next, you have your thoughts. We have the white light and you have your thoughts. And you hear my voice as it talks to you now. And you interpret my voice. And each of you, male and female, interpret my voice in your own way, in your own polarity. And this is individual. This separativeness from the white light is the Christ consciousness within all of us. And it's a blue color, and it comes into the heart. It's a feeling, a separativeness. Now we have the consciousness, the sound of my voice, going into the heart. We have the white light in the pineal gland, which interprets as red. We take the separativeness of this experience and the whiteness of the white light, and we combine them into a totality. In other words, the sum total of all our individual natures in here combined with this white light energy. And that combined essence of everything, the white light, your consciousness, separativeness, is called the Holy Ghost. And that energy is represented in science as green, as in nature. It comes into the glands of the throat. All of the throat area is dividing this, primarily the thyroid gland. So now you have a red energy, white transmitted to red into the head, divided by the green in the throat, down into the heart. And these are the prime three colors and the prime energies of the universe. And when you get to understand the science, you know these feelings. There's no division of anything. Then you come down into secondary vibrations, which is in the stomach, which is yellow, in the solar plexus. You take a deep breath and you can feel it. Hold it and let it out. And it brings all of these three energies into the stomach. This is yellow. And this is an energy field called harmony through conflict. It was the energy of the Buddha. The next energy is orange. Orange is a mixture of energies in the head and energies in the stomach. And this is a ray of concrete science and intellect. This energy field is what the Pleiadians work on in the rays of intellect. It becomes quite common for intellectual. It's a mixture of more and more colors. The next energy is a dark blue. It's a ray of devotism, a combination of the ideals in our consciousness moving towards a goal that's for something, for some purpose. And that's a dark blue. And finally, we have violet, which is at the base of the spine. And it's a ray of magic, where all things work together for the common good of all of us. So you think in science of these colors and these psychological motivating factors, you begin to see the psychology behind what the experiment demonstrates. So then the experiment and the experimenter become one and the same. Okay, now you can open your eyes up a little bit. You have to feel things. Okay? You have a little better feeling for where I'm coming from now. It needs to be felt. Now we'll come down into the mineral kingdom. How many of you are in the quartz? How many of you have it in your pocket or somewhere in your body? You know, the quartz grows at 0.1% of its weight every 10 years. In volume. You know why? Because this is the Akashic Records, the first stage of the mineral kingdom. Sannyasi told me that the perfect piece of quartz is a perfect synthesis of spirit and matter in zero time. That's why quartz can become clear. That's why you can take a foggy piece and clear it yourself if you want. Quartz is very powerful. And quartz brings us into the mineral kingdom, of which your body is made up of 5% and it controls 95% of your metabolic function. So now when I say there's something to the mineral kingdom, you have a little bit more to realize. Because we're occupying a space in zero time. And time is expanding from the present only. It leaves a trail. When I learned, when I built this time machine that I started to talk about earlier, my goal was to go into the future. So I built something like a Wilson cloud chamber that you could go inside of. And I was the atomic nuclei. And when we went ahead to the future, there was no future. It was just a black void. That's all I experienced. The reason for the experiment was that in those days I was trying to build a propulsion system, because before that I'd worked on rockets and I knew they weren't the answer at NASA. And we wanted a device that allowed us to move freely through space and time, which they had, and what was called beam technology, which we also got into. As Sannyasi says, you can get lost in space or you get lost in time, but don't get lost in both at the same time as we did at once. So learn about time. Time exists just at that moment, that flash, that white light is time. It's that flash, the recognition of it, and the acceptance of that recognition that creates form as we know it now in the material plane. The technology of the Pleiadians starts there and goes on from that point. The technology of the negative aliens is equally footed in these values. So you've got to realize that you are being brought into a very powerful, timeless place in space and time with these realizations. And people are being contacted by both sides now, depending on your weakness and your strengths. So that's why it's important to realize and deal with these different factions. Now, the body is 5% mineral. When a person dies and is diseased, they shouldn't be put back into the mineral kingdom. They should be cremated. Only healthy people whose cells and their atoms and molecules are the body have been progressively increasing in vibratory frequency should be put back into the soil, so the nature of the earth is an upswing vibration. Right now the aura field, and this is a quotation from the Reticulans, the aura field of the earth is polarized by negative human emotions, negative growth resistant people. That's a statement from the Reticuli people. What does this cause? Well, that means if my aura field induces into you, and it's negative, and that becomes the Los Angeles, and it's negative, run on greed and avarice, and the aura field with its personality hooks into San Francisco, and all around the world you have a mutual aura field, and it's wrong, then you create a condition of disharmony in frequency and vibration that does not allow itself to hook up to the other suns, the other planets. Venus, for example, is stable in the right vibration. It's the alter ego of Earth. It's the female complement. It's the consciousness that's here now. It's bucking the Earth's resistance. Jupiter, the same thing. I asked Sannyasi, I said, well, what happens if we do the inevitable and we blow ourselves into oblivion by killing our atmosphere, as the Martian people did when they destroyed their atmosphere, when they lost their ozone layer, when their carbon dioxide level got too high and their ozone layer went down? Suddenly it created an escape and all the oxygen was put away. It was gone. That all happened in a matter of hours. What happens, Sannyasi, if this happens to us? What do we do? She says, now you live on the astral plane for a long time. And you get to work out your karma there and you have nothing solid to put your feet down on. And when Jupiter in your solar system is hard enough and condensed enough to be like Earth in so many millions and millions of years, you'll live there. And you'll have one more obliviated planet for the human race to live on, as they blew out Vulcan, as they blew out Mars, as we're blowing out Earth. So there's bigger things, because you think that if you are not karmically free and you don't put in your own two cents and make that one voice that makes a difference, that you're going to be liberated if this planet is self-destructed and go live on some other world? Guess again. When the Earth and the solar system rotate around the Pleiades, as I described earlier, it takes 27,827.5 years. One revolution only produces 144,000 free souls, approximately. The rest of the people stay here and go around again and again and again. And as Yogananda says,
how many revolutions in a million years is about how long it takes to generate one wholesome soul that can go off and do something else. So you got to realize that the bypass field of the solar system is for all of us, and it's something to consider. And as long as the Earth is coupled to the growth-resistant generation, there's a big strain between the Earth's auric field and the other planetary auric fields. This creates earthquakes and cataclysms and all the things. When the Earth's vibration becomes harmonious, bam, then we don't have earthquakes anymore. As Nostradamus well quoted in his quatrain. So, now we have the Earth, the minerals, 5%, divided into three frequencies, 1, 2, 3. Now I'm going to bring this way down in frequency now and ground you out a little bit. Where do you get, how many of you in here are getting your minerals from your food? Where are you eating minerals from your food? Are you eating specially organic grown food and supplied with special minerals? Vegetables don't have any minerals in them, nor they have enzymes. If you go to the supermarket, there's no nutrition in raw foods anymore. How many of you notice the taste is no good anymore? Taste, right? You might get a few minerals. You might get a few, like iron, zinc, manganese, these kinds of things. These will work through your autonomic body functions. Your heart will beat. You'll breathe. You'll be somewhat unconscious of what's going on. It'll happen. But that's not enough. How many of you in here are taking copper in your vitamins, by the way? How come you're doing that? When the whole world has too much copper in it. Copper causes leukemia in second generation kids. In other words, your kids could be born with leukemia because you have too much copper in your body. I'd say if you're taking vitamins with copper in it, you're taking the wrong kind of vitamins. You either don't know how to take vitamins, or you're going somewhere and taking a formula of somebody that was 50 years behind the times. There's certain minerals that we don't need any more of in our body. This copper upsets the red blood cell right away in the white blood cell. Wrong thing to take, okay? In organically grown food, there are minerals. You can pour distilled water 3 feet through the air, and it'll have minerals in it when it reaches the cup, even though it had none when it started. There's a certain amount of minerals. This is how homeopathic formulation works. There are minerals in it, but it's better to take mineral supplements, especially trace minerals, which I'm leading up to. The minerals that you get in normal foods are for base functions, just existence, survival, that's all. Second range of minerals fall in chromium, reflective minerals. Chromium works through the parasympathetic nervous network in the body. Okay, parasympathetic nervous network. Parasympathetic nervous network means that if I pinch you, you feel it. If I squeeze you, it hurts. If you're hungry, you eat. If I say hello, you'll say hello back. That's feeling, sensing, the second nervous system in the body, okay? Now, you got to realize on an auric level, here's the head, this is the spinal cord. Okay, if you had a wire, connect a battery across it, electricity goes through it, magnetism at right angles, right? Basic physics. Switch the polarity of the battery, the field collapses, the energy goes the other way, and you create an alternating field around this wire. Same thing in the body. When you put minerals in the body, and they dissolve, creates a field that vacillates around this body. The auric field of low frequency like iron, zinc, creates a slight electromagnetic field slightly around the body, enough to keep the body alive, okay, as it's being used up, synapsing in the brain, okay? Then when you put in the reflective minerals allow you now to reach a higher auric density. And if they're in your body at sleep, you can reach rapid eye movement sleep, which is your second stage of sleep. Okay? Rapid eye movement sleep is attained at that point. This will give you, through the sympathetic nervous network, a feeling of well-being or a feeling of not well-being. You'll now be feeling yourself. It will, if you have the proper amounts of chromium, where this begins, give your immune system some strength. The first mineral in any disease that you're deficient of first is chromium. The first vitamin that you're deficient of in any disease is vitamin A. Okay? So it's very necessary to take large amounts of vitamin A. Very large amounts of chromium are also required.
First of all, when the ozone layer is down like it is, how many of you saw on TV the other day that scientists said, oh, well, maybe the Antarctic problem really is serious. It's doubled again, you know. Oh, whoops. That was on the news 2 days ago. The first thing that the ultraviolet rays of the sun attack is your immune system. Boy, are the grays setting you guys up, man. Just keep fossil fueling the atmosphere, because we've got the AIDS cure-all for all of your certain consciousness level. Chromium, you need that. Okay, now, we got to go to the next level. When your eyes start flickering when you're asleep, your consciousness should then couple out, and your aura field should resonate to someone else's aura field, clear across the earth, and you should be able to couple with that person, maybe meet them, become husband and wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, or meet them for some scientific purpose. And your life should automatically induce to every other aura field this kind of connection to happen. Okay? This is where we need trace minerals, like vanadium, chromium, europium. Make sure you've got trace minerals in your diet. If you don't, that part of your body, which is called the parasympathetic nervous network, the vagus nerve, the 10th cranial nerve, won't work. It starts with the earlobe and terminates down in the gray matter in the solar plexus of the body. When a person is on that mode of operation, the aura field is not limited by electromagnetic properties. It spontaneously ignites right down to the fabric of the body, whereby the soul connects to the physical form. It's that 1 ounce of thrust that leaves your body when you take your last dying breath. And this is the nerve system that connects to that. On Earth, we have a DNA in our bodies that causes the iron in the blood to electromagnetically, during the formation of the body, permeate a resistance which creates the fingerprint. The fingerprint is used for criminal and identification purposes worldwide. The Pleiadians know deeper in the soul where comes the soul, and they don't wait for the fetus to start being formed to look at the fingerprints when you birth to put you in a pattern of human beings. Pleiadians know by the frequency of the aura field what the pattern of the soul is. And so therefore, a long time ago they realized the family unit is the most powerful. And so therefore, if someone departs from the Pleiades and doesn't reincarnate there, they can find them here and know who that person is by their name. Because instead of using fingerprint identification, they use auric identification, which is the source of the fingerprint on the lower levels of the earth. In Tibet, this is demonstrated because, remember, Tibet was seated by the Rishis. The Rishis were students of the Pleiades thousands of years ago. Their language even resembles Sanskrit. And what does the Dalai Lama do? He reaches a certain age, and he leaves his body, and he says to its monks, I'm 8 or 9 years, come down to this town, you'll find me. And that's why the Dalai Lama is so famous. He's good at that. He comes out, he knows where he's going, and he's born in Tibet, somewhere that the kids will be a genius, and the villagers will phone up the lamasery and send a message up, and out come the monks with all their identifying little paraphernalia, and he identifies them, and all the stuff, and then lots of things they didn't bring, and he identifies that too. He says, oh, well, you didn't bring the saucer that went to this cup, and this is the pattern of it. Remember that? Oh, yeah. So they have a big feast. That's their religion in Tibet, which is the closest thing to the Tibetan lifestyle, the Pleiadian lifestyle that I would know of. So I'm just showing you the beauty of this, the beauty of what we can have if we prepare ourselves for it in this form of consciousness, in this form of communication. This is the area that I work in a lot. Now then, the body, which is 5% mineral, which we now understand a little bit about what it's doing, has to have enzymes in order to assimilate anything. Enzymes are incredibly important because the body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Carbon is the pyramid-shaped molecule. And everything around it, like the red blood cell, you got 4 of these, right? They're called hemes. 2 alpha, 2 beta. Around these are hydrogen. Now, let's look at hydrogen for a second. Very unique. Second most active thing in the body. Most primary active gas. If we would look at hydrogen, we'd find that it has a proton and an electron. And it goes around there, right? Now, realize that I'm talking about a sensitivity. The moment you alter even the orbital velocity of the electrons, every single cell in your body is going to be altered in some way. In the morning when the sun comes up, it's working like a laser. The energy is coming off the astral plane now. Because we have a thing called consciousness, as I'm sure you're aware of, which is divided up on 7 levels. I've got one of those funny deals here again. I love this place. Where's my helper? This is a problem I had on the other board, see? Okay, we have the physical plane, right? Solid, liquid, gas, right? All that stuff, right? Remember that? Now, you got to understand, there's an animation factor that goes on here, and that is how consciousness follows where we are in mass. In other words, if we're sitting around a campfire, and we're a bunch of cavemen, like we really are anyway, right? A bunch of animals. Actually, there's no campfire yet. This world doesn't have fire. And some guy saw some lightning strike and said, there's a campfire. So he gets a little group going and they have the campfire going. And then another group down the way says to this group, hey man, this group over here's got fire. I don't believe that. I've never heard of such a thing. There's no such thing as fire yet. Pretty soon they do come over and they stick their hand in there, that's fire, you know. So pretty soon the whole world's using fire. So all of the mass consciousness is connected to this level of the physical plane, which is a lower etheric level, is fire. But then one day somebody sticks a kettle of water on there and creates steam, right? And the steam comes out, and the first group to see the steam come out, they say, my God, what's that? The guy says, that must be, we'll call that steam. It's floating in the air, you know, it just floats. Gravity doesn't hold it down. Nah, these guys are too far out, man. These guys have fire over here. But to have steam on top of fire, man, write these guys off. Right there is where we run into the resistance against mass consciousness, animating a factor on the physical plane, the resistance generation of the Earth. When we first got into Curlian photography, that was a big thing, because now we're talking about the etheric body. We're finding if you chop off a leaf, we can still see where the leaf was. If somebody got their arm chopped off, they still have feeling where their hands were. And why don't they grow a new arm? Because mass consciousness, which determined fire was okay, which couldn't determine steam was all right, blocked that person's genetic structure somewhere way back, would not allow a person to grow back an arm. Yet you chop a lizard in half and the tail grows back, right? Because nobody programmed him that way. So we got to deal with programming. So all of this has to deal with mass consciousness. The people from the grave, negative aliens, are master programmers, masters of deception. Pleiadians teach, on the other hand, they're masters of science, but you make your own discoveries. We'll show you by logic how you can have your own discovery, and you find it for yourself and tell us whether it's right or wrong. That's the difference. I asked Sannyasi, I said one time, you guys go in, this is right after I asked where the edge of the universe was, and she says, there isn't any. I'm still allowing that one. She says, we've never gotten to the edge. And this, that was in the conversation about how they originally started building starships, because there was another story which I'll maybe tell later. But anyhow, I said, how do you tell the good guys from the bad guys when you approach a star system that nobody knows about? She said, bottom line, the negative, if they're negative, they're in search of the manifest. End of story. The high consciousness, the free soul, is in search of the unmanifest. She says, in anything that you ever feel in your consciousness, any weight that you ever feel, does it seek something that's there? Or does it seek some knowledge of something that's not there? And that's how you begin to really probe where energies of intuition or where anything comes from. That kind of sensitivity. So now, here's Fred Bell standing in here saying, forget about all the physical plane stuff. Let's talk astral plane. Let's get into the emotional plane. Because the astral plane is the dream state and it's about to become the waking state. You get high right now by staying grounded. In the days I used to be a vegetarian to get high, now I have to go out and eat a steak to stay.
So now we're going to pause for a second here, and I'm going to turn the tape over because it's off an old hissy tape, but I think you're getting the message of the Pleiades as it was spoken by myself and others. And I don't talk so much that much about this stuff in the same way anymore. That was a long time ago, but for some of you that have heard me, remember some of these lectures and speeches, and some of you, it's brand new. So it's dedicated to both. So now we'll continue on.
The astral plane is where religions take you.
You know, how do you create the astral plane? Very simple. Here's one human being with an aura field. Here's another person with an aura field. They have an emotional interaction. It creates a third body of energy. So one induces a force into another, and it creates another body of energy. That's how religions all started. This energy, the astral plane, is so powerful that if you are in a religion and you believe in it and you leave your body, you can go right over there and hang out in that heaven world. They'll keep alive for you here on earth, and then you can incarnate right back in and continue on and build your religion up and make it strong and have all kinds of metaphysical truths work for you. That's the astral plane. Then we go to the mental plane, which is the next one up, where we were sitting there imagining the white light and all that stuff. We were playing on the mental plane and using that to project up higher. Then we have the intuitive plane. The intuitive plane is the plane of automatic things that happen, making things spontaneous. Because the mental plane is divided right in the middle, the logic or the illogic, the spontaneous. Today it's time to be spontaneous. Well, this way. Let's see here. Need some water with it, too. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Water that sucker down, huh? Yeah. Intuitive plane, okay? And we have planes beyond that, all the way up to the logoic, the oneness. I don't want to get too much into planes today. I just want to show you that these are consciousness. Yeah, that's great. Super. Oh, yeah, we got it now. Damn, the pink rainbows now. Want to see some energy? Project in there. Logoic is the high one. That's the logos, the plane of cosmic entities that make up solar systems. Weird chakras and greater beings. You know, that's the way things are constructed on the higher level. I just want to get back here to the enzyme. This is all based on the conversation of the enzyme. And I don't want to tie up too much in one area, but you understand how deep we can get. So we back up to the hydrogen atom right now. The hydrogen atom has all these inner planes. Each one of these is represented by a color. Red, green, blue, and right on down. Okay, we discussed it earlier. So imagine colors could be correlated to all these different planes. So here we come, and this also, the hydrogen atom has a sound to it, too, as it's being spinning, it's running. It's called the music of the spheres. It's the same sound that makes the universe would hear a celestial sound of the planets going around the sun when you have that kind of sound, when you have that kind of hearing. Now, so when this energy comes down into the hydrogen atom in the morning, when the sun comes up, the red part, the higher plane up here in consciousness, in existence, is focused on the proton, and the violet is focused on the electron. And green, of course, is the center one. As the sun moves across the sky and the Earth rotates on its axis, the polarity of the hydrogen atom changes. So by sunset, we no longer have red at the nucleus. It switched itself over here to the electron, and violet is at the proton. So the rainbow has changed axis, but green has remained the same. Energy in the body has shifted. Energy remains the same in one spot, in the green. Plants are always green of a certain species. Always stay that way. They get brown in the fall, they change colors. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Same thing with a laser beam. Laser beam, when you hit it with white light, it pumps out coherent light from the astral plane, because the photons that come out of a laser beam are all astral. They're all total astral light. Okay? What is any? I don't care what color the output of the laser is, whether it's a red laser, a green laser, a blue laser, it only absorbs one color from the white light. Guess what color that is? Green. See? It's very simple. So now this changes during the day. So when the sun sets, you have violet at the proton, and you have red at the electron. How many of you ever noticed that your thoughts change from the morning thoughts to midnight thoughts? Okay? See the effects. How many of you live here in L.A. and you're used to getting up at a certain time with a certain feeling at 8 o'clock and a certain feeling at noon and midnight? And you get on a plane, and you go to the far side of Europe, and you get off the plane, and now you're trying to adjust. It takes a while, doesn't it? You don't instantly get right up at the same time in the morning, and you don't go to bed, and you don't feel tired, and all things are different. Your thoughts are a little mixed up. It's called jet lag. It's the body's inability to adapt to this readjustment of light frequencies on the hydrogen level. All dealing with potential hydrogen, pH.
When we worked with the astronauts that went to the moon and the ones that we put in orbit, I was around when John Glenn went up. He was in the Air Force then. We were looking at studies on the astronauts because they got a heavier jet lag on them being completely thrown off the planet for a few days than we do. And this is what we had to deal with. And what do you think happens if you get a Pleiadian ship and go 500 light years to Aaron and stay there a couple of weeks and come back? What kind of jet lag is that going to produce? You ever think about that? Now, we're being physical here and cosmic at the same time. And this is why a lot of abductees and contactees have chosen to make these great, vast journeys come back and lose their credibility in their minds as well because they never make the adjustment. What Pleiadian science is telling us now is that we've got to make the adjustment for these tremendous transitions, but we've got to do it in a sequential mode that doesn't destroy us. Okay? So it's important to stay grounded. This is a pH factor of hydrogen atom enzymes. So when you taste something next time and you eat food, all this conversation was just about the taste because that's where the enzyme level is. That's how sensitive our bodies are. If you're putting something pH-wise that's so far off from your body, you're never going to get up into consciousness of light frequencies. You're going to be fighting for survival. You're going to use that more energy to digest food than you're going to get out of it, and you're going to be on a retrograde. Okay? The idea is to go on the other direction and produce hormones in the body and higher consciousness that we can utilize. At least you get the picture of the enzyme, right? Now, from the enzyme, we go to the vitamin. The vitamin is ingrained spiritual energies of the seven levels of consciousness. Okay? There's seven different types of frequencies of vitamins, although there are different, many different numbers of vitamins. Yeah, you had a question? Yeah. Yeah, I can believe that. From vitamins, we go up to protein. Protein is real interesting. This is where the ELF guys really have a heyday. When you have a protein bound up, you end up with what's called a peptide. And this could be a neuropeptide forming into a hormone. So the next stage of this is a peptide. Inside your body is already one of the eight essential amino acids. That's why they're essential, because if you don't have anything to identify, this is a left spin coming in, but there's a right spin guy coming over here to look at it that your body created earlier. This was created when you were in your mother's womb. When you took your first breath, the DNA chain was 36 inches long. If you don't do something to take care of yourself, this is a strand that's in the nuclear membrane of every cell in your body. If you don't do something to extend your life when you're about 60 years old, that chain is about 6 inches long. You don't get a full set of instructions to the cells in your body anymore. So you have to look at genetics on a lot of different levels. You ever wonder why a Pleiadian lives to be 1,000 years? And we don't even make it hardly to 100? We used to do that back in Methuselah's time. There were many different leaders on this planet that lived 500 or 600 years. Yeah. He's very much alive. Sannyasi. He's more active than she's ever been. What's passed on is the consciousness that tried to betray her energies. That's dead. That's for sure. So what happens is the body then, this, let's say we just put in arginine. It's one of my favorites. Arginine. We just swallow arginine in a food chain. Okay, here comes another arginine chain. The body burns this up. It's going to burn this arginine up, so you better have some left. Smog eats arginine out of the body. That's why you get herpes and you feel depressed. Okay? It puts a 3.58 megahertz and up to a 3.5 gigahertz pulse, the harmonics of 10. Bam, 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 up. It looks at this, and if it gets a reflection, it says, okay, this is all right. So then what happens is it disconnects. It sends out a transfer RNA. Disconnects and takes these guys and puts them over on the chain over here. Then it takes three more and disconnects and puts them on a chain over here. Tell us it's 100% assimilated. But unfortunately, we have all these ELF things and other things that are in our lives today. The body is confused because ELF confuses it. It's like a bat. It has to have its electronics to not, there's no eyes to see not crash into something. But you can fool a bat with a microwave set, you know? Certain radar detectors and stuff, radar sets, surveillance machines will fool a bat and it'll crash. The same thing happens to your body, it crashes. So as a result, you start assimilating this stuff, And you start getting impurities in the DNA level, which starts giving you impurities further down in the body processes. So as a result, you want to test yourself, grab a gram of niacin and put it in your system with a glass of water and an empty stomach and see how healthy you are, how many antigens are. If you light up like a Christmas tree, like most people do, you're pretty polluted. And if you want to work with the energies and keep that down, add D3. Because when you have arginine and B3, niacin, and something else, which I'll talk about in a minute, creates a change in the body. I'm showing you biochemistry simultaneous with energy here, so you get a correlation. Yeah. What?
Arginine.
It's an amino acid. Yeah. So now, the protein, the peptide, this is where the receptor works, what I was demonstrating earlier with the glue. The receptor makes this coherently work. It stops the effects of negative pollutions, negative ELFs, on the body, basic body functions. That's why we muscle test a person for a receptor for one of their frequencies. We have 12 different frequencies we use of these things, and everybody will respond tremendously. You pull your finger apart, test how hard it is. When you have the right receptor on, that finger won't come apart because nobody can pull it apart because your strength is so great. And you know because you've had your own experience. We go from the protein to the peptide to the hormone. And the hormone is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. Okay? Very important, understanding hormones. If I add, for example, lysine to arginine and B3, that combination is vasopressin. It's in the pituitary gland. When vasopressin is secreted, it causes you to feel euphoric and creative. Especially, what stimulates that? What stimulates any of these is vibration. In the case of vasopressin, it likes to see negative ionization. That's one of the favorite stimulants of vasopressin. As it does when you exercise, that also stimulates vasopressin. Euphoric, feeling high. It's coming. Did you? What about the people that haven't come? It's coming. Can I go on now? Thank you. Well, you need to hear it. Okay. Okay. I love the energy. Hot and cold today, huh? Okay. Okay, now, what do people like to do? They like to get high, right? They like to feel good, right? They like to relax. And you need, to get high, you need the hormone vasopressin, right? Lysine, arginine, and B3. What is the biggest fake that we put in our bodies chemically to produce B3? Does anybody know? This is big bucks. We're talking big bucks in America now. Now, coffee stimulates the pituitary. There's one thing. I'll give you a hint. This is called nicotinic acid. Right? When you take a hit of cigarette, you get nicotine. Nicotine is the fake synthesized version of B3. And so pretty soon your body is lazy. You get the most lazy thing in the whole universe is a human body. If you can substitute it, that's how the drug industry made its highlights, you know. You got arthritis, shoot them up with cortisone, the hell of the adrenals falling out of your body. Doesn't matter anymore. Japan, they went once, at least they were smart enough to put copper bracelets on to stimulate by vibration, which is better. So what happens is you substitute a drug for a chemical in the body, and you end up with a fake high, and you're hooked. So you can, I'm just showing you how, bam, we spread off, these different things spread off in our society, and people capitalized on it over the years, okay? That's B3. The hormones are stored in the endocrine glands, okay? The endocrine glands, there are seven of them, seven basic sets of hormones, giving 49 subdivisions of hormones. The endocrine system works on vibration. It takes vibration to release the hormones into the bloodstream. Sound, light, color. because of our relationship with the Pleiades, stellar influence, all these things. In order to move forward in time, you have to become more quiet within, more powerful and brute force on the exterior, but reach a greater peace within. And it's really hard, because this, once again, is the target. This consciousness is known by aliens to be existing here, because aliens can look at the Earth. They can look at the Great Pyramid. They knew what it was in the past, and they can see exactly where the human race is. They know exactly where it is. So we become very open, very vulnerable. Because the hormones that we should be producing right now aren't, you know, ones of sex, ones of feeling good as a primary purpose. We should be producing hormones like Christ did to put him into altered state, to become invisible when they're going to throw rocks at you. You know, to be able to walk with no weight and go out on water without sinking. We're starting to see that in our society now with spoon bending, fire walking, different things. Sai Baba is pouring a lot of energy into it right now. If you want a spiritual person to focus on right now, he's really pouring a lot. And every week Sai Baba sends me something. It's really an honor to receive gifts from him on a weekly basis almost. Matter of fact, Joe Randazzo, my producer back there, we're producing a documentary. He was an instrument of Sai Baba. He did a special on Sai Baba. Sent me a picture of Christ, didn't he? And a picture of himself, which is hanging in our fireplace. After that, a few weeks later, a lady gave a picture to me of Sai Baba materializing the booty right out of the ethers. And you can see the white light coming out of his hand. It just takes a great picture, you know. And you can just see it coming out of the ethers. And recently I got a picture from him materializing his aura field, as I explained it here. You can actually see the colors emanating off of him. So this is encouragement. And this is grounding. But it's not grounding, as we would say, going into the ground. It's giving us power to deal with this bullshit that's coming down on us from every level. Power to deal with the goddamn government that sold us down the tubes for technology in the 60s. That kind of stuff. You know, my great-great-grandfather was Ethan Allen, and he started a war in this country. And one of the things that he said, he says, people were saying because George Washington was camped out at Valley Forge, he wouldn't move. And he says, goddamn it, somebody's got to die. Well, Colonel Parker was motivated by that, fired the shot that was heard around the world. That night they took Fort Ticonderoga with 8 Minutemen, and the fort had 800 in it. He went up to the general of the fort and stuck a musket down his throat. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, surrender. 8 men did it. And then they sent word down to Washington, you better not sit there any longer because the war has started. We need it now. We really need that. And you've got to be armed with the truth, and you've got to be armed with facts. And that's what I'm giving you now. The synapses, when these hormones arrive at the brain, there are switches in your body. Receptors, which is a switch that's normally open. When the hormone gets there, it closes it, and it causes an electromagnetic field to work. Then what happens is there's a switch that's already closed. The hormone comes, it opens it, and it stops the field. This resonant frequency is what we have to deal with. And this frequency goes beyond the speed of light. And when you can attain that resonance, you develop an aura field over here, like I showed you earlier, that no longer allows you just to communicate with each other, but you can communicate with entities that aren't in the spirit bodies anymore. They're beyond that. You can become a contactee like I did. You can do a lot of things, because your aura field can reach any aura field of any individual in the entire universe instantly, because there is no light speed on this level. Light only has a speed through a medium when it's densified into a white ray. Yeah. What do you mean? Beings beyond the spirit body. Deep in the intuitive body. Deep in the causal body. Way in there. Okay? You know, like the Pleiadians have their teachers, the Lyrians. If you ever see a Lyrian ship, they don't use beam ships. Beam ships create scalar waves, and the ship goes in and out of the scalar wave. It has a limitation to constructing its image of where it's going to go and deconstructing it to where it is. You know, in other words, it takes a picture of one place where it is, it has a picture of where it wants to be, and digests the picture. And that's beam technology, beaming out this energy. Lyrians have direct light. Their ships are light ships, yet they're very physical when they're on the ground. The teachers of the Lyrians don't even have bodies. So there's a tremendous power that's very positive, that's very near. But there's a tremendous negative that's very powerful, that's very near. But you have to wake up and recognize that for yourself. You have to know as individuals what this is. Because there's too many areas. It's funny they call them grays, because the gray area is always the area that causes humans to get in trouble. They don't go deep enough. with these, so the hormone structure does that. Now, what I did years ago, and it's just really now getting accepted, is I made special biochemical formulas that people would use. They use DHEA. We used FOTI and ginseng, gotacola, electrolytes that are necessary in the brain. We put this in a vitamin formula. We used B15 amplified by selenium, amplified by oil of primrose, amplified by octocosinol, all in one formula. And I brought it out to the world. And it's available if you want a super powerful vitamin. If you don't want something that I've created, look at what it is and go find it for yourself somewhere. Because there's other formulas that are around that aren't quite as powerful as this one that you may need. It's maybe too much. Because when you take this thing, you might not sleep for a day or two. It's so powerful. But you won't find caffeine. You won't find the stuff in them that a lot of fake vitamin people have in them. It's all natural. So there is biochemistry available. It's got the trace minerals, all this kind of stuff, if you're interested in it. I won't go into it now because I don't want to sound like a commercial, but I want you to know it is there and it is available. What are they saying? That's okay. That's good. That's the first thing they've done is smart. You know what tryptophan is? Tryptophan's an amino acid that you need, but I'm glad to see it go. They're outsmarting themselves now. You know that? They're outsmarting themselves. That's great. If you need tryptophan, drink a glass of milk. That's all the tryptophan you need. I'll tell you what tryptophan is, okay? Matter of fact, I could probably go into a few slides now and show you a little bit about the body here. A few things. How are we doing time-wise, anyway? How much more time do we have? Anybody know? So, what, I got another hour, right? Oh, good. Now I'm going to skip these slides around a little bit. I'm going to focus this thing up a little bit, too. You're going to see a lot of slides that don't contain what we're talking about. Tryptophan is the perfect thing to get into right now. Okay. So I can bring the lights down and focus the camera. There's something. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I need to put something on there. You can borrow your program, or you got notes on that, don't you? There's something to stick under there. Hey, what is this? Glasses. Yeah, we're going to. We can move it back probably a little bit. No, it's okay, because I'll knock it off if I do. Okay, now I'm showing, this is on my old drawings, the endocrine glands. Okay, looking right at the hormone structure of the body, now that you know what hormones are, right? When the adrenals secrete hormones, cortisones, the feeling is energy, okay? You get energy. Careful with that thing because there's something higher there. Because the ball, if you jar it when it's on, it'll break the ball. Let's go real slow with it. Yeah. Now prop it up. Yeah, it has to go up on the front, see? Yeah, there we go. Is it up now? Is it better now? Yeah, now it's a lot better. Okay. Okay. Adrenaline, for example, goes positive, gives you energy from the adrenal glands. You get up in the pituitary gland, vasopressin, when it's secreted by its vibrations, produces a feeling of euphoria. So you have 7 endocrine glands, but you have 6 that when they create a movement in the body, when 6 of these glands create a movement in the body, it creates a positive force on the physical plane of action and consciousness. However, the pineal gland, which is the most active body endocrine gland in the body, when it secretes the hormone, it's only the death hormone after your child. And that's serotonin. And serotonin just happens to be made up of tryptophan, as is lysine and arginine and B3 vasopressin. Serotonin is the leading hormone. I mean, tryptophan is the leading hormone in serotonin. So therefore, when they were, for the purposes of calming people down, giving them serotonin, what they were doing is inducing a death rate vibration into their body. Okay? Because a child, when a child is here, has a very active pineal gland, And that calming is introduced naturally at youth, because how many of you celebrate the birth like you do the death of someone? You know? It's such a mourning thing for the person to die and be liberated into some better place. And it's such a bad, unpleasant thing for a child who came from a better place to come here on earth and be in hell. We don't even think properly. So the child, because he's in hell now for a while, has to get used to being in hell. So that's what that gland is all about, okay? Tryptophan, you don't need it, you know? There's plenty of it in the foods that you eat, dairy products loaded with it. You get plenty of it there. Now, people just don't understand biochemistry on this planet yet. I don't even hardly. I'm only a student of the Pleiadians. I don't know much about it. All the stuff I'm telling you now, I learned from the Pleiadians. I didn't take anything in biochemistry, hardly anything. I learned it from them directly. They taught me more than most biochemists know, but I don't know nothing. I mean, semiosis blows me away in about a minute. Yeah, question?
Yeah, why doesn't the sleep like the colors match out of the rainbow? Because with the rainbow, you've got blue over green heading upwards.
Yeah. Wrong. You know, you're thinking of a rainbow as a static thing. The hydrogen atom changes polarity throughout the day. The rainbow moves through the body. At one point in the day, the red is here, and the violet's here, and another point is somewhere else in between. No. The body is green. Always here. And the rainbow rotates from the throat. Okay? Believe me, it does. Yeah. Because people don't understand the colors in the order. It's common here. People don't understand this yet. Red is normally in the will. Violet is the base of the spine. In the morning when you get up, the red is blazingly in the pituitary. Get up and do something now, the pineal gland. At the end of the day, you're starting to kick back. Get that creativeness, that creative intuition up into the will. What did I do? What did I accomplish? It rotates. This is the very way the propulsion system of one of these ships works. Very much like I'm showing you. That's the motivating force once the willpower is established. Okay? Now, I want to back up here for a second and show you something that's very important with the pyramids. Like, why do I have one on, for example? The other way. Remember, I'm skipping a lot. This is 2 days of seminar in here, almost 3 days, and I'm doing this in 2 hours. Yeah, part of it's in Death of Ignorance, part of it's in the Fellowship, part of it's in a book I haven't written yet. It's in some of the tapes, though. One of the big problems that we have now is getting the brain to work. When I developed the vitamin formula, which is called XL Plus, to create the right amount of electrolytes in the brain, I put huge amounts of B15 in to get oxygen up there. But I had to go through a growth curve factor learning experience. I found that when you breathe air in, it goes right down into the lungs. It gets down in the lungs, it's usually pretty polluted. It immediately goes into the blood. From the blood, it goes up to the brain in large arteries and reaches the cerebellum, the base of the brain, very quickly. As soon as it gets to the cerebellum, the arterial size of the cerebellum is very, very small. So what happens is you've got all this pollution going up to the base of your brain. You start dumping it up because we go from a quarter of an inch artery with oxygen in it to a millionth of an inch artery. So what do you have? A strainer, right? So what happens is in the average human being, this pollution starts building up here. And the cerebellum is for weight, you can't even stand on 1 foot anymore. And then it goes on up to the mid-range and you have all kinds of digestion and assimilation problems and asthma and all this other stupid stuff.
Dr. Bell out there, and going to finish up the lecture, and that was about the power dome and what the pyramids do. And we talk about that was the reduction of the arterial size of the body. When you breathe in air, it goes into your lungs. Very large arteries goes to your brain, very small. The vessels there are a millionth of an inch. Creates a lot of friction and stress on the brain, and pretty soon it's blocked. When the brain is blocked, what happens is you don't think properly. Middle age sets in, and your endocrine functions start to fail. You have allergies and all kinds of other things, and what we're talking about there is the reversal of that by wearing a power dome or one of the pyramids, not the pyridome, but any one of them will detox your body. And that's where that lecture left off. And we'll have more on that later in a special section when we do something on the pyramids. They do help you detox the brain, and they definitely allow your consciousness to shift in a much better direction by removing all that stuff. Now, when you start wearing a power dome and detoxing your brain and restoring the arterial flow, of course, you're going to lessen the chances of a stroke. People who have had a stroke have had tremendous results in recovery doing this. But you may get a headache because the liver gets an overload from the from this effect. You get, you know, when you're detoxing your brain that fast because of the pyramid. It's the only way I've ever found to detox the brain itself. And we'll talk at the next show. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.